Our scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Now about things related to the Spirit's work, my brothers and sisters, I do not want you to remain ignorant. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led off, carried away again and again by speechless idols. So I want to make it clear to you that nobody who is speaking by God's Spirit ever says, Jesus be cursed. And nobody can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different types of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different types of service, but the same Lord. There are different types of activity, but it is the same God who operates all of them in everyone. Each one is given the revealing of the Spirit for the common good. One person is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, another a word of knowledge by the same Spirit, another faith through the same Spirit, another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, another the working of mighty deeds, another prophecy, another, the ability to distinguish spirits. Another, various kinds of languages. Another, the interpretation of languages. It is one Spirit, the same one, whose work produces all these things, and the Spirit gives different gifts to each one in accordance with the Spirit's own wishes. This is the word of the Lord. I usually read from the New Revised Standard Version. I didn't read from it today. That's why I had to go get it, because I knew I wasn't going to be reading from it, at least at this point. But the Old Testament text, I kind of forgot about that. But usually I read from the New Revised Standard Version. And today I didn't do that. Today I read from a translation done by N.T. Wright, who is a New Testament scholar in England. So that translation I read was his translation of the New Testament. Most translations, including the New Revised Standard Version, NIV, most of the other ones, begin by saying, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, that's a subtle difference at the beginning where it normally says, it's usually translated spiritual gifts. When we hear that right at the beginning, we often think of somebody who's got this particular spiritual gift that kind of elevates them above everybody else, and they're kind of, you know, sometimes this elitism can kind of come out of that. But the way N.T. Wright translated, I think, is correct, and he begins by saying, now about things relating to the Spirit's work. And I think that's important because he gets at what Paul is getting at, so I think he's more concerned about the overall work of the Spirit. That's what Paul is concerned about. And then within that, there may be particular gifts, but it's all really the overall work of the Spirit. And I think that's what Paul really wants to get at here in this letter, is about the work of the Holy Spirit within the church and within the community of believers. Now, many churches in Paul's time were coming out of Judaism, and they have a long history. There's several thousand years, the Old Testament, you know, and then churches come out of the Old Testament. So they have this framework in place already. They kind of have this connection that kind of brings them together. Well, the churches, for example, Corinth, they didn't have that. As it says here, they're made up of pagans. You know, they were just people coming into the church from all different types of religious backgrounds, non-religious backgrounds, all kinds of different people coming in there. And they didn't have that common thread to kind of tie them all together. So what started to happen was there was these factions that started to develop within the church, especially in Corinth, and a lot of times they would break along the lines of spiritual gifts. Who has this gift and who has that gift? And then they would start saying, well, this gift of speaking tongues or prophecy is certainly a more sought-after gift than, say, a gift of humbleness or patience or something like that. So these things were starting to develop, and there was kind of an elite group sprouting up, you know. And that's what Paul is trying to address here in this letter, that he wants to make sure that they understand exactly how the Spirit works. So first of all, he points out today by saying, no one who was speaking by the Spirit of God would say, Jesus be cursed. Now that kind of makes sense, you know, that we wouldn't run around saying that. But in the context where Paul was at, there was some folks who were sort of trying to go beyond Jesus. They were saying, you know, this Jesus guy was an okay guy, but he ended up on a cross. So he can't be the Savior and the one that we're looking for, because look what happened to him. And Paul had to remind them that how God was working through Jesus in the world and things like that, and the cross wasn't something that would sort of signify that Jesus wasn't the Savior. But there were some who were starting to say that, so that was creating division. So that was one thing that Paul had to address. Now, we might not hear that today coming from folks in the church, inside the church. Sometimes outside of the church, maybe somebody would say that, but more often than not, people will say, you know, Jesus was kind of a good guy. He was a good teacher, kind of a good moral leader, an example. But that's about as far as they go with it. It's kind of this vague spirituality that they kind of get comfortable with, and they kind of build their own spirituality, you know, a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of something else, you know, like, but they're kind of in control of it, you know? And so that's one way that people go about doing it. But, you know, Paul goes on to say that people who are led by the Spirit will say Jesus is Lord. And when you say that, it doesn't mean that Jesus is just your Savior, which he is, but he's also your Lord. He controls things in your life. You listen to what Jesus has to say. You follow Jesus. So in a way, he is Lord, and he kind of, you know, sets the example for your life, you know. And in Paul's time, Caesar was the one who was setting the example in the Roman Empire. I mean, and people were around saying Caesar's Lord, and Paul saying, no, Jesus is Lord. That's who is Lord. And that created some tension within the Roman Empire there and within the church and things like that. So Paul wanted to get these basic things out of the way to begin with. You know, you can't say Jesus is cursed by the Spirit. You can only say Jesus is Lord by the Spirit. And I believe that people nowadays almost in a mocking way can mock Christianity, you know. So I think by the Spirit, it enables us to say Jesus is Lord and Savior of our lives. And I think Paul, as I've said before, more so than anybody else in the New Testament, grasped what God had done through Jesus Christ. And Paul understood God's story of salvation and how that was fulfilled through Jesus. So Paul is really trying to come to grips with what he knows, but he's trying to put a lot of this into words. And in this church in Corinth, he's really trying to do that in such a way that unites the church instead of dividing the church, what seems to be going on there in Corinth. He is trying to bring them together through the power of the Spirit. So he starts off by saying there are different types of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different types of service, but the same Lord. And there are different types of activity, but it's the same God who operates in through everyone. So my guess is, in this book that's going to be started here in Sunday school, one of the first things you're going to look at is how do United Methodists understand God? And how United Methodists understand God is just like all the other Christians understand God, is Father, Son, and Spirit. Trinitarian language, that's what we use. Where does that come from? Places like this in Corinthians, where Paul talks about the Spirit, the Lord, and God who is in everything. That's where that comes from. Now, it took the church 300 years to work out that particular language. So when we say something, you know, like the Creed, which was, you know, 325 or something, that's 300 years after Jesus, you know. So it took them a while to figure this stuff out. We get mad if we can't figure something out and 5 minutes, you know, I got a new phone here. If I can't figure it out in 5 minutes, I'm like, there's something wrong here, you know. It took the church 300 years to work out some of this stuff. So this language that Paul uses here is new language, but it's important, and we still use that language today. So Paul is saying to them, there is only one God. And like I said, it took the church a long time to work that out. But in Corinth, there's all kinds of people with different gods and multiple gods and all kinds of things going on, and Paul had to work that out there. So in Paul's letters, he's kind of shouting at the people in a way in all of his letters, and he's saying, do you not understand what has taken place here in Jesus Christ? That's what he wants them to understand. This is a new day. It's new creation. That's what the Spirit is doing, and he wants people to understand that. And he said, there's no reason to lament the state of things because Jesus is the Lord, and that is good news. And as I said last week, the same Holy Spirit that descended upon Jesus, same Holy Spirit that descends upon us, one and the same Spirit. You know, there's not some special Spirit for Jesus and some special Spirit for someone else. Same Holy Spirit gives us all gifts that we can use. So one of the things that he goes on to say is that he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So one question that might come out of that, well, what is the common good? What is that supposed to be? Is Paul talking about the common good within the church community in Corinth, within the church? Is that where the common good is? Or does the common good extend out beyond the church to the surrounding city, the surrounding communities, and to all the world for that matter? So that's one of the questions that I think we have to look at in this text. And I think what Paul is saying is that the Spirit comes within the community of the church, and it is used within the community of church for the common good within the church, but that extends beyond the church walls. It is for the common good of the surrounding communities, surrounding cities. You know, it's for everybody. That's what this common good is for. And he sees that that Spirit is unifying the church in Corinth, and that common good that comes from that Spirit can unify communities and things like that. So that was one of his main driving factors, is he was a church planner. He'd go around starting all these churches, and he tried to bring unity through the Spirit to all these churches. Even though there are different gifts within the church, they all work together for a common good. So the common good is rooted in God, and Paul says that the Spirit gives us these gifts to help the common good, and these gifts are wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing. And Paul faced a lot of challenges that we face today. There's a lot of diverse backgrounds. And some people say, well, what is your common good is not my common good. And, you know, you sort of go through all that, you know. So I think one thing Paul would say is that the common good promotes life instead of death. The common good seeks out truth instead of trying to seek out lies and things like that. The common good promotes freedom instead of captivity. The common good promotes humbleness and servitude instead of elevating oneself. And that was one of the big things going on in Corinth. They were elevating themselves, and Paul says it brings about humbleness and unity. And the common good promotes the well-being of the community. So this common good is really a basic working out of the Spirit. Now, there are some examples of that come about this week. You know, church example of that, big church example of that. Anglican Church in England met this past week. Anglican Church, I think, has 77 million people worldwide. And the leaders of the various groups within Anglicanism come together in England to work out some things. And one of the things they were trying to work through was what was going on in the Episcopal Church here in the United States, which is part of the Anglican Communion. So they've been doing some things that are kind of problematic in a way for them, especially surrounding human sexuality and things of that nature. And there was some concern that it may split. The communion may split, and the Episcopal Church maybe have to split off from that. One thing they did this week was they tried to stay together, and they said that they were going to stay together. But they did note that the Episcopal Church had some issues that needed to be worked through. But they wanted to stay together to work those things out. And United Methodist Church kind of works the same way. In May, there's going to be General Conference. Anything that happens in United Methodist Church, it all happens at General Conference. That's where they establish things, right? Every 4 years, they get together and they work things out. Well, that's going to be coming about in May. And we'll be going through some of the same issues there, right? And hopefully, within that, there will be that spirit of unity that will prevail in all of this. And there may be some differences, but they try to find the common good core understanding of those principles and of the Spirit. And they're not about spirit of division, but it's a spirit of unity. And they try to work through that in real world scenarios. So that's one way. One way at a local church level, we're doing small church initiative, which I think is a good way to see where this church has been historically, what gifts this church has now. You know, we did a survey today about discipleship. Where are you in your journey? It just helps us understand where we are all at. We all have gifts. We're all at different levels and things like that. But it's to help us understand who we are as a community and where particular gifts are and things like that, not to divide people, but to unify and make the church stronger. So that's really a big part of SCI is just helping the church come up with a common vision, a common understanding of how the Spirit is working going forward. So that'll be a big thing this particular year. And we'll have to have a lot of data gathered within the next few months. And we've been working on that, but there's still some more to do, so we'll be doing that. But that's part of understanding how the Spirit is working. Locally, you know, I met with the school superintendent earlier in the year. The number of pastors met with the school superintendent. He invited us to meet with him. And that's a good thing. I think that promotes the common good. And Paul would say that promotes the common good. Paul wasn't so much about separation of church and state. He thought this church thing really impacts your whole life, and you don't separate them out. And it was good to see where the superintendent is looking to pastors for ideas and working together and things like that. I think that promotes the common good within the community, and that strengthens a community. Now, earlier this week, I saw in the news where the Walmart Express was going to be closing. And that hasn't been open, I think, maybe a year or something like that. It hasn't been open all that long, you know. And I did some reading on that, and it seems like this Walmart Express was kind of a pilot program within Walmart, and it looks like they're kind of closing them all down. You know, not just the one here, but they're closing them all down. So that's troubling, because I think that impacts the community. It impacts the common good. It can kind of destabilize things. And I think it's unfortunate that they decided to do that. But it was a corporate thing. But I think what that shows there is that within the community, I think that was a viable store. I think it did some good for the community. And I think, and my prayer is, that something good will come out of that. And somebody, some other organization that maybe is not so corporate-minded will say, you know, this is a good thing. It is a money-making thing, sure, but it's good for the community. It helps sustain the community. And I feel pretty confident that someone will come in and reestablish something like that for the betterment of the community. And we can pray for things like that. That's something good to pray for. And we can help within the community to maybe bring that about, you know. Laura Peace, who's the mayor here, she attends the Becker Church, and I was talking to her about that this morning, and she feels optimistic that there's perhaps something good will come out of that, and I think it will. But things like that impact the community, and I think as a church we should be you know, aware of things like that and work to strengthen the community. And businesses strengthen communities, so that's something that the church can be involved in and pray for and be active and maybe trying to bring something in place of that, that will be a good benefit to the community. So those types of things all go on within the community. And I think the Spirit leads us. It gives us gifts to help within the community, to help transform things and be a positive unifying force within the community. So I think that's what Paul is getting at here with this church in Corinth. And it speaks to us today that these things that the Spirit does not separate us out. It doesn't create, oh, here's somebody who's got prophecy and here's someone who can speak in tongues and things like that. That's not what Paul was saying. Paul is simply saying all these gifts work together to strengthen the church, ultimately then to strengthen the community and to bring freedom to the world through Jesus Christ. And that's kind of what we're about at this place. And I look at the beginning of the bulletin here. 1882 is when this church was established, so it's been around a while. It's seen some things go on in the community, and it's still here. The community's still here, and I think through the power of the Spirit, we will embrace a new future that I think is going to be bright. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.